Welcome to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast with the Church Safety Guys. Brought to you by TwoWayRadioCenter.com, a Motorola value-added reseller. The Church Safety Guys is a nonprofit organization dedicated to equipping the vigilant, those men and women who stand watch, keeping our houses of worship and places of faith safe. We believe church safety and security must be a ministry first, and have engaged servant leaders who continually strive for excellence and teams of motivated volunteers that are always training. Join us for the next hour as the Church Safety Guys unpack safety, security, leadership, and ministry operations with your hosts, Dr. James McGarvey and Mike Scully. This broadcast is also available on YouTube, your favorite podcast platforms, ChurchSafetyGuys.com, and on the original Church Security app. Download it today. Feel free to like, subscribe, and share with your ministry.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Sunday night broadcast of the Church Safety Guys. I'm joined tonight with Jared Tetzloff. He's been a regular on the show. We've had him frequently off and on. Jared, good to see you. Good to have you back.
Good to be seen. Glad to be back on the show. It's been a minute with the holidays and everything else, but here we are back again.
Absolutely. You may see that I'm in kind of first chair here tonight. Our esteemed leader, James, is out sick. So, of course, we'll prayers for fast recovery and get him back in this bird dog seat first. I'm usually a good sidekick, better than the driver, but we'll see what I can do here tonight.
I'm sure we'll manage. We get plenty of good stuff to talk about and as we roll into Easter.
Absolutely. But before we get to the topic at hand, if this is your first time joining us, be sure to join us on our website at churchsafetyguys.com. You can like, subscribe, and follow each of our broadcasts. We tend to do them relatively frequently, not quite every week, but many weeks of the year, available on all your common platforms across YouTube, published to Facebook, as well as the podcast platforms if you don't want to watch the video version. So check that out. We also are available to be contacted via the Church Security app. You can download that in the iOS or Android store. That is available for you, and we have a whole lot of extra resources for you and your team there. No charge for that. You just simply register, and you'll have access to the extra resources. So be sure to check that out. Again, thanks for joining us tonight. Really do look like this will be a good topic we cover each and every season. We do dive into Easter. It is important coming up early this year in a couple of weeks. Also coming up in a short number of weeks is our 2024 Church Security Essentials. Too many words in my mouth. Essentials Conference coming up in Austin, Texas. So I'm thrilled. It's my backyard and finally bringing the conference here down south. So if you're in the greater Texas area or even beyond, I know we have a lot of folks that are even flying in and setting up for the conference. This one is different than previous years. We are looking to run a multi-day conference versus a single day in the past. So you do have options. One thing to note, though, is our VIP reception that we have for the Friday night. That is already sold out. So praise God for that and the attendance flocking to the conference already. So get your tickets. Only a number of weeks left until we get there. Again, we're going to be in Austin, Texas, relatively accessible for most of the state or by plane should you choose to do that. A bunch of great speakers coming in. As usual, we do bring folks from all over the country to speak. And so we'll have a great day packed on Saturday, as well as a couple of additional things on Friday. So whether you're starting a church safety team for the first time and you want some help with kind of getting started and all those foundational pieces, or you want to talk about leadership, or you'd like to go deeper into our simulation, we're going to be running on Friday afternoon. So that simulation is more like a tabletop on steroids. Part competition, part simulation, tabletop. They give you a chance to kind of walk through a couple scenarios and what that looks like, make some decisions under time pressure, and understand what's the best for your team. Now, your team may be individually who you're sitting with. So it may not be the person who's got your back on Sunday morning. It may be somebody else that you just got to know that morning. So a little bit of added stress, added pressure, and we'll work through those in the afternoon as a chance to network and learn together. So get your tickets. They are going fast. That is available at churchsafetyconference.com. Again, churchsafetyconference.com, or you can reach it by going to our website, churchsafetyguys.com. All right, with that, let's move into our topic of the day. We're going to move into Easter prep. And as I mentioned earlier, we have covered this in the past, but it is important. Easter is, of course, the church's Super Bowl. And I'm not necessarily the guy who always does analogies with sports. It's not as much my thing as maybe it is some others. But of course, it's a bigger day for us. It's a bigger day for many reasons. But really want to start there. So Jared, I'll give you the floor if you want to open us up on that.
Yeah, Easter being the highlight of the Christian faith and definitely the reason that we get a chance to do ministry and together. And I look at Easter, and there's so many things that can go into preparing for it. And I think, you know, as you train your teams to understand, yeah, what typically is a weekend that you would spend with your family, you may spend a little more time away from your family to protect the flock, because that's when so many people come to church, the Christers, if you will. And so understanding, you know, their mindset may shift, their family's mindset may have to shift a little bit on what Easter looks like if they're going to be a part of that Easter team, and really building in the value ahead of time for them so that they see the value. It's not just another ask. It's really an opportunity to watch God work. And then in addition to that, just being aware that with all those extra people that might otherwise not normally come to church, as non-denominational or as orthodox as your church may be, or somewhere in between, every church kind of has its rhythms and flows and patterns. And knowing that Easter is going to disrupt those. And so having your team prepare a little extra, praying for that heart of discernment so that they can be ministry-minded in dealing with and loving on people who might not otherwise be coming to service.
Absolutely. And that's a great one. I think prayer is really that first thing you can do in preparing for Easter. Is, of course, we're obviously starting every Sunday. We should be anyway with our team. I know there's times where something's already happening by the time you pull in the parking lot and somebody's flagging you down, and that doesn't always lend itself to immediately praying with your team, but that's important. You should be doing it on your way there, but it's also important, get your prayer team at your church involved now. They're praying oftentimes for those who will be in those seats to experience God and to really be reached that day. But you know what? Give them that added prayer intention to pray for your team and to pray for the safety of everybody on campus that day. So it's really important. So start planting those seeds now. And of course, doing it on Sunday. So if you need to say, hey, let's pull everybody in 10 minutes earlier than typical call time, you know what? Do so. Make sure you have that extra 10 minutes, because you're going to need buffers for many things. But make sure that buffer starts with prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I said, it goes back to adjusting expectations for what the rhythm of the weekend's going to be. And so that may mean getting there a little extra early so you're prepared to receive people, but leading it with prayer so that you can go out in the right heart heart posture and mindset to greet those people who are coming in the parking lot. I know when we first planted Rock Point, which is where I serve, 20 plus years ago, the study that was really focused on was often people will decide if that's going to be the church they stay at before they even get to your front door. And so from street to seat, serving them well and protecting. We had our lead pastor on last year, and just through the conversation came up with that protect while serving. And so really thinking about from street to seat, how the rhythms are going to be different, what we need to be mindful of and looking at in order that not just are people kept safe, but it's a place that they want to return and to continue attending and growing in their faith.
Absolutely. And that, you know what, to make that happen, it's not just a switch. It's not just a click and all of a sudden that works. It takes planning. So of all days of the year, this is one of those Sundays that I feel like takes a little bit more planning. It's why we talk about it here. But I think start of it is make sure you're talking with your pastors and understanding what's outside of your normal routine, that rhythm that Jared mentioned, what's going on as part of the Easter service plan, so you ensure there's no surprises for your team. There can be any number of things that could be planned, whether it's audiovisual, whether it's some sort of play or skit that might be happening that typically doesn't on a regular Sunday morning routine and service. Or you may find other guests that are coming. You may have somebody who's visiting and in town, and the pastor intends to have that person come up to the podium and speak. All those things that are outside of the routine are good to get into a muscle memory or condition with your team and staff to know that on every Sunday basis. But given that Easter Sunday is the kind of the bigger one, the bigger overall event, if you will, of the year within the church, use that as an opportunity to kind of set that expectation, get that information up front, and understand what that's going to look like. So yeah, whether that's guests or otherwise, that's where you want to go.
Yeah, and I would encourage you thinking about inside the service, but if you are the ministry lead for your safety and security team at your church, get with the other ministries. Find out, are there going to be additional elements that, if weather permits, that you're going to have outside that you want to look at? Are there different elements to the children's ministry so that you can be prepared to partner with them? Identifying potential problems before they happen. You know, here in Arizona, it will probably be a really nice mid-70s sunny weekend if the weather cooperates. And people assume, hey, the weather's great, and they don't drink enough water. Are you prepared to respond to heat-related issues if that's the case? Or if you're somewhere deep in the Midwest, other colder weather issues. So identifying issues before they happen because you understand what's going to be different. One, helps you partner with the other ministries in a better way, building that trust. And two, builds your credibility with your team when you can put out an ops plan, even if it's a 2-paragraph email saying, hey guys, we're going to have this position stage in this area because this is what the kids ministry is doing or whatnot. All those things will go towards a much better Easter morning. I mean, Mike, you mentioned it. Showing up and being surprised that something's different can often lead to frustration. And in the moment, that's the last time you need a conflict is when you're in the middle of the Super Bowl. And right. So having those conversations now is going to be vital to setting yourself up for success the weekend of.
Absolutely. I mean, just consider it this way. It tends to be a bit more of a large scale event than a typical Sunday morning. So focus on what that might be. If you've worked larger events, whether that's a concert in your venue or any number of things, treat it that way. Treat it as an elevated type event than a typical Sunday morning. But start with the basics. We talked about prayer already. And really from that, look look to kind of review and staging and the people and maps of your facility and make sure everybody's refreshed. And you know what? Check on those things, those caches of first aid and other materials. Make sure everything's working. We should be doing that on a regular basis anyway, but even more so with a heavier presence at your church. You want to really kind of dot those I's, cross those T's, even more important to go through that. So kind of map that out for everybody, understand what communication is going to be and set up for the day of. Are you adding others to your radios that day because of the busyness? Are you giving radios to a team that doesn't typically go on air? Are you adding channels for them if that is for another group? To Jared's point, if you're staging folks in other areas, are they on radio? Are they not? What does the comms plan look like as part of that overall ops plan? So be sure to focus on that as well.
Yeah, even to the comms plan, as simple thing as making sure those who are new to radios, whether it's other ministries or new members to your team, basic radio etiquette, basic, click the button, give it a one count, and then slowly give your clear, concise statement. You will find as just the overall energy and stress level of the weekend goes, so does the inability or challenge to just clear communication on the radio, which can often add to the chaos as opposed to move towards a resolution.
Absolutely. Now, if you have larger team and you're working with way more resources than I think the majority of us do, you really want to kind of say, map out where those resources are and understand for everybody what that looks like and really read in other people beyond the safety team that day. You want them to know where all of this is. Now, maybe you already have the maturity level and have the maps and your AEDs and your fire extinguishers and your first aid are already on that map. Great. But if not, here's an opportunity to start to map that out. Even if it's chicken scratch basic to get started, it's better to have something for your team right off the beginning than not. So having that mapped out is really good. Now, as far as mapping out some of that placement, some of that location that you may want to be extra concerned about, as Jared brought up, is from the street. So what's the parking lot look like? What's that situation? So when you're doing that outreach with another team, are you reaching out to, say, the parking team? Are they going to have extra coverage for Easter? Now, chances are there's a good possibility that they will. But what's going to happen on Easter when that influx of additional people show up all trying to get into the same service? Now, I know some churches go down the path of, which I feel is sometimes a little bit commercialized with tickets and things like that to try to track attendance and shift coverage and volume of that attendance to specific services. And sometimes you may be at that type of a need. You may have limited resource and space. And you may really be expecting a crowd, but that may not be the only way to approach it. But what you are going to have regardless is a large influx in your parking lot. And as Jared mentioned earlier, that's the first impression. So are you having folks that are going to put a smiler on their face when they're perhaps backed up 6, 8, 10 cars deep waiting to find a spot? Are they being greeted? Are they being pointed in the correct direction? Are they being given a smile rather than kind of being barked back at? Don't assume they know what they're doing. Don't assume they know where they're going. Don't be flustered when you get a question that feels like they should know the answer. Assume that they don't know. Assume that they've never been there and just greet them with a smile.
Yeah, and I would encourage you. The parking lot is the best place to start your screening for something that doesn't look right. Whereas I think the perception, at least in the teams I've worked with and coached, is that you put your lowest level volunteers furthest out, I would argue that parking lot spot, even if you've just got one, may be the best place for one of your highest level volunteers who has the ability to screen while smiling, look for things that are out of place while being that friendly person. So it might even be heading into Easter, kind of a reset of how you select spots for the specific giftings and skill sets on your team.
Absolutely. And that really goes into staffing in general. I mean, when you're looking at staffing for your Easter service, if you're at all able, I mean, again, some of us have teams that, you know, it's already all hands on deck, or we have a small number of people who are part of the team, and you're limited in what you could flex to. But if you have the ability where you do have like multiple teams, perhaps where you may have an A team and a B team, and you tend to alternate, well, this is the Sunday when perhaps more of the team than a typical rotation is the time to staff. So increase your coverage as much as possible if you're able. And then consider even, this is a type of Sunday where more going on. If you don't typically staff your camera position, where you don't have that luxury of somebody who's watching cameras and what's going on that day, that may be a time where you can add some additional coverage in many areas by having them scan the camera coverage on a regular basis, giving them a radio. And maybe it's not even somebody who's regularly on your team. If you need to tap into somebody as an extra resource, that's a good spot that doesn't take a whole lot of preparation to get them to be able to do. You walk them through the radio, you show them the cameras and how they work, and you're really just getting them to look for anything that doesn't look right, and then call it into anybody on the team. That can really help the team extend your reach beyond what you typically would have on a normal Sunday. So consider adding that person, or even just staffing it from your team if you can. Then I'd say also in staffing is consider hiring an off-duty officer for that day. It tends to be one of the biggest days, so you may actually need to for purposes of traffic and so forth. Some of us are in locations that the traffic's not going to matter all that much, because when service dumps out, it's onto a quiet road. But for others, it can be in more urban areas, and getting people out of the parking lot, you want to do so in an orderly fashion so that frustrations don't rise, and so that you can move people out so that the next service folks can start to transition in. So that's important as well. So an officer is a great way to expend some funds to help with your coverage that day. That may help you not just in visibility and traffic, but also in speed of response. If you have an officer on scene already, if something were to happen, you have a person with arrest powers and other capabilities if it does go sideways.
Yeah, you're looking at, if you've got a, no matter what size team you have, you're looking at force multipliers, because you've got a crowd multiplied. And so I think one of the other great force multipliers that you can use, in addition to putting somebody on a camera, bringing in outside help that can help with, arrest powers or traffic direction, is sending somebody from your team, or maybe it's you, the week before, and go meet with the parking team, go meet with the greeters, go meet with the ushers, and have that quick conversation to say, you can help us keep this place safe by reporting, and just give them a basic see something, say something, 5 minute elevator speech. Give them an opportunity to ask questions. And then, even if you're not terribly familiar or best friends with the entire parking lot team, they will have seen your face in the weeks leading up to Easter, and they will be all the more likely to be reporting back to you when they see something. And so you can get creative and really cover a lot of ground by just maybe looking at a different way to skin the cat.
Absolutely. You know, I had to look behind me for a second, Jared, because I thought you were like literally seeing my screen, because absolutely the next bullet in my notes was see something, say something under staffing. And it's a great point you brought that in there. I think it comes back to your culture. That should be part of your culture, where you're kind of injecting that information of see something, say something all the time. But again, think of it this way. Just like you're surging for coverage on your team, if parking and other teams are doing that as well, and maybe they have some newer volunteers, they may not have seen you the last time you talked about see something, say something. Maybe you don't have a great video like Jared does at Rock Point for bringing everybody in on their onboarding and letting them know. But at the same point, you want to make sure you're tying them in for this Sunday. So build that into your culture so that everyone's aware that everyone has a responsibility for the safety of your church. It's not just the safety team. And then when and if you really need to, you are given the ability to tap into so many more resources that day during a situation than if you hadn't taken that time to prepare.
Yeah, it's all about leading up to it. And you hit on it, the see something, say something culture. All too often, I think we ask for people to see something and say something. And then when they bring something innocuous that we may realize is really nothing, the last thing you want to do is let them think, oh, this was nothing and it was an annoyance. Anytime somebody brings something to you, you need to applaud it and celebrate it. Now, there may be some fine tuning on how it gets brought to your attention or when it gets brought to your attention. But even over the last couple of weeks, I've had staff and other volunteers almost reluctantly come and say, you know, I didn't really want to say anything, but I just couldn't let it go. And my first response is, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. I really appreciate that. Man, this is the kind of stuff that can really make a difference, because even if it turns out to be nothing, we don't know when it's going to be something. And so setting that culture leading into it so that people are less reluctant to bring things forward is such a vital part of making the see something, say something mentality work.
Absolutely. No, it's so good. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about preparing for Easter. So hang in there, and we'll be right back.
We all deal with stress on a daily basis. When not properly managed, we can face burnout. Mental, physical, and spiritual burnout. It can be detrimental to serving in church safety and security, as well as other ministries, and affect all areas of life. Coming Back brings biblical guidance for such a dilemma. In the book Coming Back, best-selling author James McGarvey takes a biblical-based approach to address and prevent ministry burnout. As you read Coming Back, you will easily relate to James's shared experiences, be inspired by Scripture, and grow through the practical and applicable instruction found in this much-needed book. This encouraging read will affect you and your team in a positive way to continue the path of ministry with an energized and encouraged spirit. Through biblical and practical knowledge and experience, James shows that it is all about coming back to focus on what matters, coming back to the cross.
Welcome to the Church Safety Guys broadcast.
At Centurion Bible College, we're authentic about relationships, we're passionate on training, we're unapologetically biblical. And as the first college in the United States to design an associate's program in church safety and security, we're innovative. Explore Centurion Bible College and you'll find the tools to be better prepared to support your community and the mission of your church, the culture to help you engage with the people you serve with, and the environment to foster learning and leadership. Discover Centurion Bible College today and enhance and develop the skills to engage and connect with your community when they need you the most. Be intentional in your community with a ministry mindset, understand concepts of safety and security, and make a difference today. For more information or to enroll, visit CenturionBC.org or ChurchSafetyGuys.com.
The Church Safety Guys help church and place of worship safety and security teams all over North America through our broadcasts, online communities, conferences, trainings, resources, and the all-new Church Security app. Download it today. Help us continue to reach churches by supporting our sponsors, purchasing our resources, and consider becoming a ministry partner by making a monthly or one-time donation. Remember to like, subscribe, and share this broadcast with your team. And now, back to the broadcast.
All right, welcome back to the Church Safety and Security Broadcast. This is your Sunday night. I am your host, Mike Scully, and I'm joined tonight by Jared Tetzloff. James has the night off as he's on the mend, a little bit under the weather. So wish him well and prayers sent his way. If you're just joining us here at the middle of the hour, thank you for joining. You can catch us on our website, churchsafetyguys.com, or you can go to our church security app. You may have seen that in the promo there in the middle. You can go through that and get additional resources, simply register for free and access there. Be sure to check out our church safety conference coming up in Austin, Texas. That is happening next month in end of April. You can get tickets at churchsafetyconference.com. All right, rejoining on our topic on preparing for Easter, again, here with Jared Tetzloff. Go ahead and kick us off.
Yeah, I think as we've talked about preparing and really getting your team ready and knowing what's going on internally, I think it's just as important to have a good idea of what's going on outside your church property lines. Being aware of you know, what's going on locally. Have you had people in the past who have been disruptive or come to your church to cause problems? Knowing the psychology of it says they are far more likely to want to come and disrupt a big service such as Easter because they're going to get whatever their reward is for being disruptive. They're going to have a larger audience and a more captive audience. And so really taking a look at, okay, what else has we had happen in the past that do we need to be on the lookout for? I know at Rock Point, we've got a list of what I would call frequent flyers, and generally leading up to big events, we're more conscientious of their social media, other cues and clues that we might want to be prepared for so that we can, in our case, provide an environment where people can worship free of distraction and harm. And then I would look locally. What's going on in your community? This is where your partnership with local law enforcement and other churches is so important. Oftentimes the disruptor, if he doesn't get what he wants at one church, will go down the road to the other. And so being in partnership and community with your local law enforcement and other churches is really important. Maybe you have something else going on in your community that you just need to be aware of. If nothing else, it's an election year. And anytime you've got an election cycle and you've got all of the stuff going on in the world, people are just kind of at a heightened alert. They're kind of at a heightened sensitivity to things. And so that's where I would really look and make sure that I'm plugged in with organizations like CISA and Homeland Security and working with your local law enforcement officers. Just this week, I was able to get a bulletin forwarded to me from Homeland outlining that ISIS is calling for attacks on Western religion as they enter the month of Ramadan, which I believe kicks off today. And so being aware of what's going on inside your church, but also being aware of what may be lurking at the door. I was just at a invited to a houses of worship briefing with the FBI on last Tuesday. And if you're tracking anything online, you would have seen this, but to hear direct from the FBI agent who oversees hate crimes and specifically houses of worship, that the primary threats that they're looking at and they're concerned about is most likely to be a lone wolf actor. And so being aware of that so that you can, again, be watching for those social media cues, be watching for other pre-indicators that they may have ill intent, whether it's to disrupt or whether it's to do something worse. And just being aware of that. One of the interesting things that they also said is a third of all hate crimes in the U.S. are religious based. And so understanding around the holidays is when heightened emotions and agendas can be heightened. And the other thing that he mentioned that I thought was really interesting, and we should all be thinking about how we'll respond and how we'll prepare, is that across the country, swatting and bomb threats are up, trending up substantially for houses of worship. I know that just over Christmas Eve services, I heard and read about a couple large churches that received bomb threats that disrupted their services. And so how are you going to respond to those? What is your response for those larger scale threats and risks? Because keeping your finger on the pulse locally, regionally, and federally and internationally is something that you really need to make decisions beforehand. If you're going to try and make those decisions in real time, again, lack of clarity often leads to conflict. And so having that clarity ahead of time will reduce the conflict and increase your efficiency and professionalism that you portray in those moments.
Absolutely. And that's some great information. And thanks for bringing that to the audience there. I think because Easter is going to be a typically larger event, I mean, it's not unheard of to see a 20-30% pop in attendance on that Easter attendance for your services. I know the last couple of years, my church, we had we actually rented a hotel ballroom because we knew we were not going to have enough space for our Easter services. And not only was that true, but we actually still even made the attendance in that ballroom very large scale. So we spoke even with the hotel and mentioned the volume of people that we even expected, which we exceeded. And even the hotel, we thought there may be additional security or folks from the hotel that they might staff to help in case of needing to evacuate or any number. No. They didn't have any additional coverage, and that was surprising. So then when we exceeded our expectations of attendance, that put us in a much more risky position that if we did have to evacuate, a couple things there. One, did we have enough staff for that even larger surge than we predicted? Probably not. Were we going to be in a tricky spot because we were in a environment that was not our core environment? So this, we were kind of fish out of water in a hotel ballroom. Now, yes, the team got together and we walked through and we did different preparation in the facility ahead of that Sunday. So we didn't just show up blind and wing it. But at the same point, had that happened with that large of attendance, that could have been a challenge. So think to your own church. I mean, there's a number of churches that when's the last time you had an evacuation drill at all? How many people on your team have been present when you last did an evacuation drill of some sort? You may have a completely new team that wasn't present when you last ran one. You may have 40, 50% of your church, maybe new faces that weren't present the last time you ran that drill. So keep that in mind that if you are facing a need to evacuate, whether it's swatting or a bomb threat or any number of reasons, you may be highly stressed in that situation, but your goal is to get the people out and do so in an orderly fashion. So make sure you're ready for that. Understand that that may need to be put into place. And as Jared mentioned, make that decision ahead of time that, you know what, you're just going to act and put that policy, that procedure into action should you find out X or should you find out Y. Make that known right off the bat so that the entire team is ready for that reaction and they don't have that deer in the headlights moment of, wow, this is really happening, or did he really give that order? etc. So make sure you're looking at that preparation for that surge of attendance.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. You know, just like we're going to surge and try and have all hands on deck to the extent possible, I know that there are other ministries that really push for additional volunteers. And so you may have brand new volunteers. You may have volunteers who their ministry is not happening that weekend, and so they're serving in a different role or capacity. And at one of our kind of mass panic events that we had a couple years ago that we've talked through on here, ultimately the entire worship center emptied for an unknown trouble. Ended up being a medical incident, but everybody believed what they wanted to believe as far as, okay, something bad's happening, and their worst nightmare was immediately what they transferred into what must be happening. And so I remember a big part of the debrief in that with our staff was all of the staff wanted to know, what do we do in this situation? And the reality is your staff may not have the best way I can say it, and forgive me, I don't mean offense. They may not have the fortitude to really be take charge in a panicked situation. But at minimum, you need to work with your staff that in the chaos, you have to be the calm. In the chaos, when you are the calm, people are looking to you. And if you panic, you will add to the panic. If you can be the calm, boy, you can really do things in an orderly fashion. There was a bomb threat at a church in Oklahoma, and I'm drawing a blank on what the name of it was, but there was a video that circulated pretty extensively in the church security world. And the pastor had a guest up on stage, and they were doing some sort of analogy or sermon illustration. And a staff member comes out, whispers in his ear. What we find out later is that we're under a bomb threat. And the pastor did such a fantastic job of addressing in a calm but clear and directive manner. Everybody, we love you. Merry Christmas. We are going to get up and exit the building immediately. We will follow up with you. Your safety is our priority. So please stand up and exit the building. And he did it just like that with that tone.
That's great.
And it's a great example of, even if you don't know, how to do a tracheotomy with a McDonald's straw or, bend a bullet, can you be the calm in that moment, exercising and leaning on your faith to be the minister to those who need calm, clear direction?
So many people, I think I've heard it. I know James has mentioned it about people coming up and saying, aren't you nervous? They expect you to not be calm necessarily, but that courage, that calmness is contagious. So if you can create that contagion, if you will, if you can inspire others to be calm in the middle of chaos, you're going to make your entire team's job easier during all of the mix of anything going on. I want to come back to kind of things that are unknown or things that are way out of the abnormal, if you will, for a typical Easter. Is I know some churches have the Easter egg drop, helicopter egg drop type events, or Easter egg hunts, or some of these are super over the top, publicized to no end. They end up creating traffic nightmares in the local community and so forth. And it's, all great to promote and bring people to God. But understand that this can also create another tension, elevation moment, if you will. So when you got folks that don't know your church, that may not have come to service, that are potentially trying to come to an event that you have post service, you now have all of that conflict coming at the same time. Now, I know there's some churches that have moved that event entirely off of Easter weekend, or sometimes moved it to the Saturday so that it's detached from directly from services. That's mainly because they've learned in the past because of the added volume and traffic. But keep in mind that that type of event may mean additional coverage that's necessary. Certainly the police element is good to have a detail from that perspective, but it's really good to kind of get that going. Another point I'd like to cover really is that in you want to try to lead your service up front with the idea that we talked about evacuation and the possibility. Add an evacuation type message. Point out the exits. Be the air flight attendant for a half a second before your service and tell them this is how you're going to get out of here. This is that we do have these things in place if we need to evacuate. So that extended population that are looking around and trying to figure out which way the bathroom is and all those different things, make sure you give that to them right up front.
Yeah, definitely. Having that preparation ahead of time and then coming in with a good plan, coming in with the force multipliers, being partnered up with the other ministries. And I think the other thing, and I've seen this twice in the last month in real world situations, is really helping your team come in, not just with the right heart posture, but the right mindset. And I think, I know that in my teams, I think one of the riskiest times that I look at is the transition time. If you've got multiple services, that transition time of I'm just in transit from one post to the next. People are coming, people are going. And I think you can often see people let their guard down. We saw this at the Lakewood shooting where they were in between their English speaking morning services and their Spanish speaking afternoon services. You know, the officer leaned up against a wall with his cell phone, not watching. I was just at another church helping, coaching them, and there was a crowd of unruly people, and they had studied, they had watched, and they acted on the chaos of the transition. And so it was just a very recent thing that I was reminded of, that we've been reminding our teams of, is that once you are there, there's really no lull. Oftentimes, if somebody intends to do something, it will be in the transition and it'll be on purpose. Somebody, just the chaos of people coming and going adds to the need to have a heightened awareness and a dedication and a mental discipline. And so, you know, part of that preparation is just reminding your team in the days leading up to Easter, stay hydrated, get good rest. When you come to church on Sunday, be ready to be dialed in. So just kind of a small rabbit trail as we talk through, preparedness and the importance of, man, it's probably going to come at a time when you're not expecting it, or you're not on your game, or you're not paying attention.
No, it's very good. I mean, I kind of bundle that transitions as what I call blind spots that we often have in our team, in our churches. So not as in a physical blind spot with no coverage of your camera or no coverage of your team, but really as we tend to miss that, that chaos, that transition, the need to hand off from one set of folks to another set of folks. Make sure you're scheduling a 15-minute overlap, not just a kind of tag you're it moment. So the first service should end after the folks for the second service arrive. There shouldn't be this, okay, I'm stuck another 15 minutes because the person's running late. Well, if they're 15 minutes late, then they should be on time for actual handoff. But at that point, true on time is to get there early. We mentioned parking lot earlier, but I think parking lot is a blind spot often. So staffing that, getting that folks out there, avoid that blind spot. See what's happening out there. You can also have that frustration start to bubble up. Or, of course, anybody who's meaning to do harm that has potentially weapons or otherwise, you could pick up on that behavior most often coming from the parking lot first and foremost. And then also be cognizant as a team leader. Do you have team members that have small kids? Guess what? It's Easter. Those small kids and those families that are trying to serve, they are going to have additional neediness on that day than they may on a typical Sunday. So understand that and plan for it accordingly. So either you can create a situation where that person has an ability to still be able to engage with their kids as necessary between those transition times, or you know what, have that reserve type position where, you know what, the person's going to sit in service, or that person's going to help with their kids during that time, or shuttle the kids home during that service. So plan for that up front. Don't let that be a blind spot that then on the day of when one of your team members is focused on the distraction that is their cute kids in their Easter outfits, and then get upset about it. So just plan on that happening, and then you avoid that blind spot up front.
Yeah, I think there's so many aspects and facets that you can look at going into Easter. And if you're relatively new to this, or if you're a smaller team and you feel under-resourced, I would take what we talked about today and focus on really addressing one or two of the things well. Don't feel like you have to eat the elephant all in one sitting. Prioritize based on your church, your people, your knowledge of who you are and how Easter's going to typically goes, and focus on making one or two of those things an A-plus improvement, and the rest of them go, okay, we're just going to do the best we can with what we've got. Sometimes I think we can get a little overzealous and try and immediately move to, an A-plus 20 years in the working, well-funded, well-oiled machine. And we miss the opportunities to just take that next best step for your team, your church, and your community.
Absolutely. It really is one of those days that, you know, extra grace is going to be required for everything. Things may not go exactly as planned. There may be delays. There may be technical difficulties. There may be challenges in the parking lot. The key is not to let it fluster you or let it fluster your folks on your team. Prepare them for that. Have that expectation right up front. And then also that when that frustration can set in, know that there's going to be those folks that need that grace. The anxiety and frustration, there could be all sorts of things. Easter morning brings with it a whole host of challenges for families with young kids. They're trying to get those outfits on, and somebody could have spilled on them on the way, and they now need to try to clean that up fast. So now they're running late, or now they're not going to get their seat and so that they wanted, and they're going to be late dropping their kids into kids' church. And any number of things can set them off into a snowball avalanche of really kind of frustration and anxiety that morning. But understand that anxiety and frustration doesn't mean they're a security risk. It could just mean that life is happening for them. And so of all times, have that extra grace prepared. Make that part of your everyday carry. Make that part of something that you can be ready to engage with those folks and be a smile, be a calming voice. Don't add to their chaos of their morning by coming at them with a tone that just does not work. And then, of course, I think we'll wrap it here as we run out of time. I opened it this way, but I think it's important as well. There's five key things to summarize some of this. Is in preparation for Easter, you want to start with prayer. Make sure your team and you have patience. Practice, practice, practice. Be personable to everybody around you. Don't let wear that frustration on your sleeve. And prioritize your people. It's really important to make sure that you understand that it's going to be a lot, and it's a big ask for them as well. So put them first, and celebrate and enjoy the reason for the day. Of course, make sure that there's time for yourself, time for your team to actually acknowledge that, and for your family. But I certainly speak on behalf of James and everybody here at Church Safety Guys. We certainly wish you a happy Easter. We will continue to pray for each and every one of your churches, and that you have a blessed Sunday with additional attendance that doesn't overwhelm all of your plans and everything that you put together, and that we win more for Jesus in the bigger battle that we are in. With that, I wish you well. Take care, and God bless. Have a good week.
Happy.
Thank you for joining the Church Safety Guys broadcast, brought to you by Vigilant Impact. We hope that you found it informative, and we appreciate your feedback and interaction. Be sure to share our broadcast with your teams, join the discussion online, and connect with us on social media or at our website at churchsafetyguys.com. For other great ministry resources, download the Church Security app. Remember, keep a servant's heart, a mindset of ministry, and semper disciplina. Always be training. Have a blessed week.